All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I've often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. This is the word of the Lord.
Just make sure I'm on. There we go. Good morning, everybody. Wonderful to see so many of you. So, as hopefully you know, we're in the middle of this kind of mini-series looking at the book of Philippians. And last week, Kate spoke to us about having kind of faithful confidence, and today we are looking at waiting willingly. So, I wonder, I'm going to need my glamorous assistant Charles here. I wonder, have any of you ever had to wait for anything in life? However big or however small, have you ever had to wait for anything? Whether that be maybe you're waiting for something right now or you've had something in the past that you're waiting for. Charles has got the microphones. Put your hand up and he'll run round. And it'd be great to hear the things that you've had to wait for in life.
Children.
Waiting for children? Yes, I know that one. anything else? Might be waiting for a bus, something really small.
I had to wait for my singing exam results.
Waiting for exam results, yeah. Ooh. Who's had to wait for exam results here, anybody? Yeah, lots and lots of you.
Christmas!
She may have just stolen my punchline. Anything else? Let's have a few more. Come on, Charles, you're not working hard enough.
For Arsenal to win a trophy.
Football, is that Arsenal to win the trophy? Oh, dear. I bet you had to wait a long time for that. Any more?
For my birthday.
Your birthday? When's your birthday?
9th of September.
Okay, so you've got quite a long time to wait from now, haven't you? Yeah, that's a long time. Lots of waiting.
Holidays.
What was that? Holidays, yes. Have you got a particular holiday in mind, going anywhere special?
This year.
He's trying to bribe his dad where they're going on holiday now. I love this. Not sure. The holidays. I think everyone wants a holiday sometimes now. Brilliant. Thank you, Charles. We're done for now. So sometimes we have to wait a really, really long time for some of these things, don't we? Things like if we're waiting for a baby, that's 9 months. If you're waiting till next September, that's even longer. You might just be waiting till the end of this morning so you can go home and eat your lunch, maybe. Who knows? All sorts of things. And some of those things are really small, and they don't take up too much time. You might be waiting for the microwave to ping so your dinner's ready. Or those much bigger things that are really exciting or maybe really nerve-wracking too. And there are some things in life that we have to just wait, and we can't do anything about it. Once we're waiting for exam results, we've done our exams, there's nothing else we can do. And then there are other things that we can prepare for in life as we're waiting. So this morning, we've seen Florence and Aubrey be baptized, haven't we? And I bet they've had this date in their diaries for quite a long time, but there's been a whole load of things that they've had to do to prepare for this. I guess they'll have probably had a meeting with Kate to talk about baptism and what the service might look like and the things that they're saying, what that all means, so they understand what it's about. They might have told their friends and family. We've got lots of visitors here, which is wonderful this morning, so they can all come and travel and join in the celebrations. They might have organized a little party, maybe. Lots of different things. I asked my life group over the last few days what the things that they're waiting for. We've got someone who's engaged in our life group, so someone who's waiting for a wedding, and there's a lot of preparation going into that. That's ready for next August. Someone else is waiting to hand in their dissertation on Friday at university. Someone's waiting for a special doctor's appointment because they've been really unwell and they've not been able to go to work for a few weeks, quite a long time, so they're waiting for that doctor's appointment. There's a lot of anxiety there. Someone's waiting to go and see the Foo Fighters, the band, next summer. They're really excited about that. And then, as you said, there's Christmas. Anyone excitedly waiting for Christmas here? Right, I kind of thought, I know it's only November, but if you've got me up the front at this time of year, I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about Christmas. So, we're going to play a little game. Wonderful. I need some volunteers. Oh, good, good. I can see lots of hands. Wonderful. Really, it'd be wonderful if I could have two adults and two children. It doesn't matter if you come up together or separately. Have I ever got any adult volunteers first? Let me see. Esther, have you got a daughter with a hand out? Are you going to come up? Come on then. You've got to come too. Excellent. And let's have some from Girls Brigade. Thea, are you going to come and bring mum or dad with you? Nick and Matt are arguing about who's going to get the prize. No. Wonderful. Right. So, who's ever seen The Generation Game? Does anyone remember The Generation Game? You know, our Saturday night telly when we were a bit younger, maybe. It's had many reincarnations. But today, we are not going to have Bruce Forsyth's Generation Game. We're going to have Ali's Christmas special Generation Game. Are you excited? Yes, a little bit. Excellent. So, guys, okay. Actually, I'm going to be really mean. Can I have the girls on this table and the adults on this table? Excellent. And I've got my glamorous assistant again with some props. And so, you know, when we're getting ready for Christmas, there's many, many things that we have to do to prepare. You might be shopping for presents. You might be decorating the house. You might be thinking of the shopping list for the food and stocking up the freezer and ordering the turkey. You might be joining in the choir. Yes, you're joining in the choir to sing at Christmas. Excellent. Well, I love preparing for Christmas at church, but actually I'm really rubbish at preparing for Christmas at home. I often forget presents for really important people, including my husband. I'm really bad at cooking, so he does all the Christmas dinner cooking. I get home from church on Christmas morning and I fall asleep, and he wakes me up 3 hours later and says, "Dinner's ready, it's wonderful." So I really need some help. So are you guys up for helping me prepare for Christmas? Excellent. So in your bags, you have some Christmas decorations, a Christmas tree, in fact. So I would like you to put your Christmas tree together, decorate it, and there's some boxes over here. Thank you. Other household goods are available in the shops, but for today we've got this. And to wrap up your Christmas present, though, I just thought, I'm not sure whether we've got... Yes, we've got sellotape and scissors in the bag, ladies. There we go. So, do you know what... Are you happy? Charles, you're going to help these two? Excellent. So, decorating your Christmas tree. Yeah, if you want to come down the front and see. Decorating your Christmas tree and wrapping up your present. Okay, you guys have to wait. You're not allowed to start yet. Off you go. I'm just going to give them a bit of a head start. You want to come and have a look? So here's this. Yeah, we've got Christmas tree. There's some feet there. There's a wrapping paper. Yeah, so they go on the bottom of the tree. Yeah, feet on the tree. How weird is that? There you go. And then you've got lots of beautiful decorations. I don't know what you feel about tinsel in the church. We've gone for beads and baubles. Oh, that's it. Good, making a good start. There we are. Oh, and the stars going right on the top. Start straight away. Brilliant. Let's just pull all this out a little bit. I hope you girls aren't starting yet. No. These guys are pros. You've got them well trained. It's very good. Very good. Excellent. It's just like, I want to get started. This isn't fair. I want to go. That's it. All very, very good there, girls. Very good. You keep going there. Oh, this is looking beautiful. No? Just when I say. Oh, I think this is great. Shall we get going with the wrapping of the present? Who here is the wrapper? Yeah, and who here is the sellotape holder? You know, the magic finger sellotape holder. I'm very good with that. Here we go. Somewhere. I hope you're all taking tips here. You don't need Nigella to tell you how to do Christmas. Just these girls. Excellent. Right, keep going, girls. Well done. Should we let these guys get going yet? Should we let them start? Oh, not sure, not sure. Not sure. Okay, go on, go. Quick, Charles. Yeah. Excellent. Well, you know, I think time's pretty much up, don't you? Should we give them a bit of a countdown? Should we give them a 10-second countdown? You ready with me? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And time up. Time up. Time up. Time up. Right, well, so what have we got here? We've got like, you know, oh, I can see what that is. That's not very good wrapping. A tree that keeps falling over. It's got no feet on it. No feet. Not, you know, where's the star on the top? Whereas, girls, you've got this amazing, beautifully wrapped. I can't see what it is. That's all that matters, really, isn't it? And can you tell me about your tree, girls? Are you happy with it? Yeah, they're very happy, and it's got your beautiful sparkly star on the top. I think they're ready. Do you think they're ready for Christmas? I think they're ready. I think they're done. So, you know, if we were marking them on the didn't they do well scale of Bruce and the generation game, I think we'd probably give these guys, you know, it's a bit lame, isn't it? Maybe like a 4 out of 10 for effort, maybe, do you think? Two, a bit critical. And how many for these guys? A 10 out of 10. Excellent. Well done, guys. So I did say that there'd be a little prize. Just say thank you for helping me. So just... Okay. Daughter's not allowed chocolate, apparently. I'll keep that, yeah. Just check for allergies anyways. Well done, guys. Should we give them a little hand to say thank you? Well done. Brilliant. So you're probably thinking, what on earth is all that about? I mean, we know Ali's obsessed with Christmas, but what is this about? And what has that got to do with Paul's letter to the Philippians in the Bible that we had read to us earlier? So we've got this chap called Paul, and he's writing this letter to this church in Philippi. And in the bit that we looked at last week with Kate, at the beginning of the chapter, we're talking about being confident in our faith. The fact that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, and that we can know how great it is to know him, we can boast in him, we can be so sure, and the life and the joy and the love that he brings into our worlds is just brilliant. And Paul talks about how much better life with him is than even his greatest worldly achievements. Hello. And, you know, that sounds pretty great, doesn't it? So today's passage, Vaughan was reading for us earlier, it said in verse 20, this is one key verse that I'd love to pick out, it says, our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we believe that, we're waiting for a saviour, Lord Jesus Christ, to come again. It doesn't just say, sit around and one day it'll happen. It doesn't say, do nothing. It doesn't say, have a cup of tea and watch the telly. And then one day Jesus will come again. It says, eagerly await. And it might be that you're eagerly awaiting something, maybe that holiday or that birthday or Christmas. And it usually tends to be in your minds quite a lot, doesn't it? You know, you're really excited about it. I had, when I was younger, one of my older brothers woke up with a fever on Christmas morning because he was so excited. He'd made himself ill with excitement. He was so eagerly awaiting Christmas. And, you know, it's easy to use Christmas as an example because it's all over the television adverts, it's all over the high street, you know, we see the lights going up, we're planning our parties, we're thinking about who's going to come over for dinner, all those kind of things, aren't we? We're really eagerly awaiting. It's in the commercial world and it's all over there for us. There are many, many other things that we might be waiting for too. I just chose this one as our example this morning. And there might also be annoying people like me trying to say, come and sing in the choir. But I think it's fair to say there's a lot of us eagerly awaiting Christmas. Now, what if we eagerly awaited our Saviour, Jesus Christ, again? What if we eagerly awaited him coming? What does that look like? Can we really say that we're as excited about living in this kind of now and not yet, this state of preparation for Jesus coming again, as we might be about Christmas or our birthdays or going to that party or awaiting our exam results? Are we really awaiting Jesus coming again with that same level of excitement, of anticipation, of preparation? I've heard this phrase so many times. If you were put in a court of law on the stand, is there enough evidence that you are living as a Christian to convict you of believing in Jesus Christ? That's quite a massive challenge, isn't it? Are we living in that way that people recognise us as Christians? We talk in the Bible about this kind of, you may have heard of the phrase, now and not yet. If we believe in Jesus, we believe that one of the things that comes from that is that we have this amazing gift of eternal life with him. But we don't have to wait till the end of our earthly lives to start living like that. Our eternal life can start now if we believe in Jesus. So are we living that way now? Now you might say, ooh, that's a big challenge, but I don't know what that looks like. What does that look like, Ali? Well, firstly, one of the main people that we would look to as an example for how to live this life with Jesus, to say, yes, I'm living for him, is to look to Jesus, to look to how he lived. And there are many, many different bits in the Bible, so I would definitely say head to the Bible, read the gospel, see what Jesus said. And he tells us so much of how we can live, how we can love one another and serve one another and love others that maybe it's difficult to love too. We talk about spiritual disciplines. If you want to know a bit more about that, there's lots of talks on the website from over the summer where we talk about reading the Bible and praying and having quiet time and serving and worshipping and all these different things. And a lot of those are kind of doing actively, you know, things like I'm going to make time to do this thing. But also, we can be eagerly awaiting by actively not doing. Does that make sense? By saying, actually, I'm going to take this time to wait, to sit, to be with Jesus, and wait and see what he says to me. Are we eagerly awaiting until we get to our citizenship in heaven? Are we taking that seriously? And then the other bit that I wanted to point out to you today was in verse 17, it talks about following examples, doesn't it? So join together in following my example, Paul says, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So if you're saying, yeah, Ali, I really want to live as if I'm living for Jesus. I want to really live as if I'm eagerly anticipating this citizenship in heaven and how that works. But how do I do that? Another good thing, other than looking in the Bible and looking to Jesus for an example, is actually what you're doing right now is coming to church and meeting with other people and getting support from them. And I think also Paul's saying, you know, so we've taught you how we live. He's writing to this church in Philippi and he's saying, we've taught you guys how we live because they're kind of a new church and they didn't really know what they were doing. But find other people that you can follow as well. Kate said to me earlier in the week when we were talking about this, she said, if someone came and said to you, I'm going to follow your example, would you change how you behave? I thought that was quite a big question. If someone said to you, I'm going to follow your example, would you change how you behave? And my instant answer was, yes, I would, because I'd want to be a better example. But actually, it should be no, because it should be I should already be being that example. And I thought, oh, that's a really good question. So my question, my challenge to you is, who are you following? Who are you following? Who are the human examples that might be an influence to you in your lives? Now, it might be that you've got teachers or you've got parents or you've got colleagues at work above you, perhaps. You know, those kind of people that in our day-to-day churn of life we're following. But also, what about if we tip that upside down and we say, maybe particularly if you're kind of a bit older and you're more mature, as the beginning of the passage said in this thing, who's following us? Who are we seeking out to say, hey, let me be an example to you, let me support you? Who are we kind of being maybe a mentor to, that word you might use? Who is your influence over? And naturally, we've all got spheres of influence, whether that be in the classroom, at home, in the office, at the school gates, in the shops, all those things. So who are you following and who are you being an influence to? And just to remind you, we're doing all that because we're in this in-between time. We're waiting for Jesus to come again. And we are eagerly awaiting. We're actively waiting rather than passively waiting. Are we getting ready with the same level that we might get ready for things like Christmas or parties or birthdays, all those exciting things, with the fact that we get ready for school? How are we actively getting ready for Jesus? Do you think that's exciting? I think that's quite exciting. Lots to think about there. So I just want to say thank you to my two teams of Christmas elves earlier. I hope you enjoy waiting for Christmas or whatever else it is that you're thinking about. And let's be waiting actively and not passively. Let's think about how our lives reflect Jesus now, not just waiting for what's to come in eternity. Let's be following his example now, and let's be an example to others as we love them and we seek to serve him and we serve him through others as well, in all that we do, both now and for eternity. Amen.